to be preserved from them. So there is a light and salt. It shows the two qualities. One overcoming darkness, the other overcoming death and decay that tries to creep. The world is in a state of death. Do you realize that this whole earth in God's sight is like a mortuary? There's the sting of death everywhere. Spiritual death is everywhere. The Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has spiritual nose to smell, let him smell. And know that there's a spirit of death everywhere. And the whole world is like mortuary. There are a lot of things that darkness is trying to do that has a sting of death in it. And it sometimes clings to your clothes. And that's where when you spend your time in God's presence, you're cleansed. We're preserved from those things. And then the other parts of chapter 5, all are in synchrony together. Let's look at some of the key verses there. In verse 17 to 20, Jesus says, "Do you think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets? I did not come to destroy but to fulfill." And then in verse 20, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, many times we read that verse, and this is the impression we have, that we must really walk very strictly. Very strictly. Everything line upon line, precept, precept. Much, much more carefully than the Pharisees and the scribes. That's a natural impression when you read that verse. Oh, their standards are high. Our standards are higher. Let me tell you, the Pharisees and the scribes came up with so many standards. It's all in one book. In the Talmud. That it's so detailed. Every little thing, what you can do, what you can't do. Oh, it's horrendous trying to get through it. It's just like some of the laws that they come out today. As society progresses, there are so many laws and subclauses and everything. You have a whole profession. Lawyers who try to explain what it means. And nothing wrong with lawyers, but it gets so complicated. Trying to be right, trying to do the right thing, trying to follow the law. And sometimes we read that verse and it says, when Jesus says that unless your righteousness exceeds, what we think in our mind is that if the Pharisees and the scribes have about 1,000 rules and regulations about everything, we will have 10,000 of it. That's the impression that we have. Let me tell you, there is no greater group of religious folks and standards. If you want to compete with the Pharisees and the scribes in a natural and in a mental and religious way, you might as well give up. You can never. You can never compete with them. Their rules and regulations have been so enshrined over thousands of years. They have developed it. And you can find it cover almost every single thing they could think of. So when Jesus said to exceed them, surely he's not talking about following the same pattern. See, when Jesus says that your righteousness shall exceed, he's saying that you will not be following the same way they did. You will exceed them. Now, for example, when somebody comes, you know, and you can come, you know, in a church. And a bicycle. That's not too bad. Good exercise. Nice bicycle path too. So you ride to church on a bicycle. What's the fastest that you can ride? For some of you riders, you would know, right? Maybe 60 kilometers per hour. That's pretty fast, I would presume. Right. You'll be panting away. And I say, like, you know, you are to exceed that speed. Right. Of course, not breaking the rules. As you travel the highway, as you come into, for example, that church over there, you are to exceed that speed. Let's say you're in a race. and you're heading from one place A to B. As you head to B, you are to exceed that speed. Does it imply that you are limited to bicycles? That you have to keep reinventing that bicycle until that bicycle could travel 100 kilometers or 100 miles per hour? No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that there's something that's going to surpass that. So why should we think that when you say exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, that he's talking about exceeding their methods and limited by their methods and just increasing their methodology? That's what the mind says. No, we all know today you could exceed the speed of 50 or 60 kilometers per hour by using a car, by using a bullet train. You could or by a plane. I didn't say that you're limited to a bicycle. I just said that you have to exceed that speed. And so you could be actually sitting on a plane, very relaxed, drinking your cuppa, and you're traveling at 400 miles per hour. You have exceeded that speed. And so when Jesus said we have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, he is not saying you should exceed them by adopting their methodology and increasing. But he's talking about there is the possibility in his context. He's saying you can exceed it by another higher power, another higher force, another higher principle, another higher quote-unquote invention. And to support what he says, he went on to say in the next couple of verses in verse 21 to show the two difference. He says, and his phrase is always familiar. You have heard of old, but this is what I say to you. You have heard this was said of old, but this is what I say to you. Throughout the whole rest of this chapter, he uses the two contrasts. So let's begin in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. And then Jesus says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka. What's Raka? It means empty head. Or things like saying, you simpleton, you fool. Even saying that, Jesus says, you're pretty near and in danger of judgment of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now Jesus is pointing to something deeper than the law. He's saying, this is what the law says. You shall do, you shall not do. Now, Jesus says, this is what I say. Then he goes on and says in verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already done it in her heart. They say, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your left hand causes you your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And he says, this is what he says. Now when you look carefully, there's no way you could use the methodology of the Pharisees to reach Jesus' standard. Impossible. No matter how fast you reinvent the bicycle, I doubt they can get a bicycle to travel at 500 miles per hour. In the first place, it's not very safe. I mean, who wants to invent a bicycle that travels at 1,000 miles per hour, right? I mean, the brakes is, to brake at that speed itself will probably take as much energy as the whole bicycle itself. It's just like, who would invent a $1,000 back scratcher? Try to market it. How many people are willing to pay $1,000 for a back scratcher? Right? No. You know, most people may be willing to pay a couple of dollars for a back scratcher. I mean, it's just wasted time. So Jesus is not talking about trying to use the Pharisees' methods. Look at it again. And says in verse 33, same style, he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Then verse 34. But I say, Jesus says, I say unto you, do not swear all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. That's what Jesus says. Plain speaking. So that, this is his standard. And then he says in verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, for whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If another wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So these standards. And then he compares again in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And then Jesus says in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father. In verse 46, he says, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? And he says, the tax collectors do the same. And he says, greet their brethren, and you should do more than them, that you may be perfect as your Father is in heaven is perfect. So there are Jesus' standards. There are the standards of the law. Now, in the light of this, think about what Jesus says. You shall exceed the righteousness. Obviously, the only way you can go faster than what the Pharisees are going is by some new power, new force, new invention, new methods. And indeed, it is true. All the old law could do was to tell you what to do and what not to do. Examine all the law. There are glimpses of the new covenant in the old. As they say, the old has a new conceal, and the new has an old reveal. There are glimpses of it pointing to the new, but primarily in the Old Testament and the law, all it tells you is, thou shall not, zip, 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 zip. Thou shall not, right, whatever, all the thou shall not. That's the law. What you are to do, what you cannot do. What you must do, what you must not do. Now Jesus is on a different level. While the law emphasizes on doing, Jesus' standards emphasize on being. You shall be the light. You are the salt. Now part of being is this. Look at how he looks at the law. In terms of thou shalt not murder, he says, you should not have anger. Because anger leads to murder. So what is Jesus doing? Jesus going deeper to the roots. Look at Jesus' new covenant. The old just says, you know, it's alright, you can be angry, upset and everything, just don't do it. But Jesus says, you must not even be angry. You must not even scold someone, you empty-headed fool. Look at what Jesus' standard is. He is talking about being. You as a person. What your attitudes are. Being. And same here. When he says, the word says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus says, in your heart, you should not even lust. Because in the old covenant, there are a lot of people who keep the old covenant. But in your heart, they're lusting. And Jesus says, in the new covenant, even that is dealt with. Obviously, he's talking about being. And all the other verses are the same. He's talking about being. He goes to the root. So Jesus, in the law, he shows that it's just on doing. But in the new covenant, Jesus' standards focus on getting rid of the very source of the action. Getting rid of the very cause of that wrong action. Now, if that is true, and we absorb Jesus' teaching, now this is Jesus' primary teaching, then let me ask you this question. When you want somebody to change, you now have two totally different, if I can say, philosophies. Although one is in the other. You can use the old covenant method to change somebody. Thou shall not. Thou shall. And try to change somebody. Or you can deal with the very root of what produced the wrong actions. Now let me tell you, Christianity has strayed so far from the new covenant that sometimes we end up using old covenant methods to preach New Testament laws. When